The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined on the line by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How's it going?
It's going very well. Now, we have been talking over the last year or so about the significant cuts to science budgets and medical budgets right across the United States, thanks to Donald Trump's anti-science bias. And the key moment is coming when the funding has got to be put in place or not.
That's right, Pat. Yeah, and the good news, it looks like the Republicans are standing up to Trump on these swinging science cuts that have been proposed. Trump wants to cut science funding by at least 50% in the U.S., kind of across the board. NASA, the National Science Foundation, NIH, that was the planned cut, you know, $30 billion in savings. But amazingly, Pat, it's not gone down well, basically, in Congress, and the Republicans themselves are saying, we're not having these cuts, we're not accepting them. So it looks like we're hoping it mightn't happen anyway.
So the House on January the 8th rejected the proposals from Trump. Where is that resistance coming from? I mean, are the Republicans, we see a lot of them seem to be ignoramuses in terms of some of the decisions they make. So where is the support for science actually coming from?
Yeah, but it's kind of bipartisan is the word they use for the Democrats and Republicans. Luckily enough, can see the value of medical research, for instance. So it begins with that. It's very economic, though, Pat, because lots of this money goes into, like, Texas is where NASA is, for instance, you know. So any cut at all there would affect job numbers and stuff. So it's partly to do with senators and congressmen protecting their states from job losses, I suppose. So it's a bit pragmatic as well. But it's also, Pat, because everybody gets cancer or Alzheimer's, if you know what I mean. So they do see, luckily enough, even though they mightn't be fully scientifically literate, they do see the value in this research. And therefore, that's another reason why they're defending it, we hope.
Now, the interesting thing is that you were looking into Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, and obviously he's concerned about NASA because of all the jobs and the kind of industries that would surround a NASA institution. You know, lots of people serve and give support services to that. So he actually stood up to Trump and managed to make sure he got the funding by doing some sort of a pork barrels deal.
Yeah. So that the fight back began with him, Pat, interestingly, last summer. He said, I'm not having these cuts to NASA because so many jobs and so much industry depends on it, you know, and he began to speak out then, which was seen as a bit of a surprise, I suppose, at the time. And he managed to convince them to put $10 billion extra into NASA. Now he's arguing that there should be a crewed space program, that NASA should send people back to the moon, basically, you know, and he was arguing strongly for this. And lo and behold, they agree they won't cut NASA in that way, even though that cut was on the table. Of course, it's partly, Pat, because the military get involved, remember, in the US as well. And the NASA space program was also about, you know, making sure America had primacy in space. So there was various reasons why Cruz defended it. But again, at the time, it was seen as the turning point. Because if he was speaking out, then other ones began. Another famous one, Pat, was another Republican called Kate Britt. She was defending the NIH, the health funding. And she said, no, we can't be cutting the NIH by 40%, which was the proposal was, you know. So again, she begins to speak out. But it's a quiet revolution, they're calling it, by the way. They're not speaking out in public, you know. It's kind of behind closed doors that they're not agreeing with the cuts is what's going on.
And then there are patient groups who are concerned that, you know, they won't get the kind of developments and breakthroughs and ultimately drugs and techniques that would save lives. A crowd called United for Cures.
Yep.
Who are they?
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Well, again, Pat, if ever there was a case of following lobbying, the Americans are very good at lobbying, as you would know, in Washington, D.C. And so how do you lobby for things, right? And what happened was pretty quickly, these 100 different disease advocacy groups, patient, different diseases came together and they formed, as you say, this United for Cures organization, right? And they began a massive lobbying campaign, emails, phone calls. They were visiting Republican congressmen's offices, you know, to defend all this. They invested in a big digital advertising campaign just to remind people how important medical research was, you know. And what strikes me is that we could take a leaf out of their book in a way, you know. We scientists should be lobbying like that in a way to remind the politicians how important what we do is. And they reckon that was a big part of this, that that lobbying campaign really then was effective. And as I say, the cut to the NIH then is less likely is the idea.
Yeah. Okay, so generally speaking, I mean, you have people maybe of a scientific background sometimes in the Senate and in the House, but could you characterize either of the big parties as being pro-science or otherwise?
Yeah, if you look at the history, Fab, Republicans were inclined to support more than the Democrats historically, if you look at when science investments happened. Even though Kennedy was behind the space program, that was a Republican idea initially, you know? So it looks like the Republicans have been more in favour of investing in science and tech anyway, and it's partly because of industrial aspects, I suppose. So through history, the Republicans were leaning in that direction anyway. So that's why they think Trump's push in this direction is unusual, because Republicans would normally be in favour of funding science and tech, you know. So he went against the grain as usual. He was a bit out of step with the rest of them. So in other words, it's maybe not that surprising that Republicans are speaking out, given that historically they were always the ones that were pro-science.
Now, when they're trying to fund the government, and the deadline, of course, is looming, and they're threatening to not pass the funding bill because of the behaviour of ICE in Minneapolis and all of the related matters there, it could happen that the funding process stalls and the funding will be cut anyway.
Well, that's the fear, that exactly, yeah. And there's intense lobbying at the moment, because it's tomorrow when they allegedly agree the overall budget, you know. So they're trying to make sure that this will go through. So there's a bit of fear about that at the moment. But the noises I made, there was a call I was on yesterday about the European Union, and now they're saying, I know America will keep supporting science. Because as you may remember, the EU is trying to attract scientists who are not getting funded in the US. That may not be as big an issue now if they do manage to keep the funding going. There'll be less Americans moving to Europe is the idea. So we'll see, though. But you're right, though. It could get stalled for a while. But, of course, the trouble is if you stop funding science, it takes longer to get the thing going again. You know, so they're hoping they're going to make sure they keep the funding coming.
Now, America was preeminent in scientific endeavor for so many decades. Maybe the Chinese are catching up, and you'll have American students applying to attend Chinese universities before very long. But when you look at the global figures, who are the biggest investors in research and development?
You're right. America was dominant for a long time. America would be at least around 30% of total global spend on science. You know, they were always preeminent after World War II. That kind of kicked in. You know, a guy called Bush actually had advocated for this. So they were always dominant, and they'll stay dominant if they don't cut the funding, is the idea. Europe was always behind. I mean, we're always lobbying for the European Union to pay more for science. So, for example, Europe's spend was $400 billion over a period. It was $670 billion in the US. You know, so it's much more. And we're trying to get the European Union to spend more on science for competitiveness reasons. Israel, interestingly, has one of the highest spends on science. Japan, very high as well. The EU average is 2.27% of GDP, if you measure this. The US was 3.5%, which is a substantial difference, you know.
And so again, Israel 6.3%, which is huge.
Huge, yeah. But the question about that is how much of that is in military stuff, maybe. But still, Israel was always a huge supporter of science, really, you know. And we've always been arguing Europe was always falling behind. And Ireland, Pat, let's get a word in, we don't do great at all. We're just 1.6% of GDP. We're well behind the European average, you know. So in other words, other countries need to do better overall in funding science, especially in Europe compared to the US.
And there's no doubt that, you know, it is its own reward, because you get the scientific developments which then become commercially exploited, and, you know, the dollars roll into the coffers. That's the way it works.
You've got it. Yeah, the trouble is it takes too long. One issue for science funding is it might take you 10 years to see a reward, you know, and politicians see that as too long of a time frame. The Americans seem to be happy with that, you know. Whereas in Europe, we need to realise these things do take time. If you don't do the science patch, you won't get the tech and you won't get the jobs, is the idea, you know, overall. And they've got to keep reminding people of that.
Yeah. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.